From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is author Rod Dreher. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of Hank Unplugged, the podcast that is committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people directly to your earbuds. And today we're going to produce a very sobering podcast. I'll talk about that a little more in just a moment. Let me say as prologue that our liberal democracy is now degenerating into something that resembles totalitarianism. The liberal part of liberal democracy is not meant as an allusion to the radical left. It refers to the liberties or freedoms that a government is mandated to guarantee its citizens. And that includes freedom of religion, of speech, of assembly, of press, and even extends to the right of owning private property. The democracy part of liberal democracy refers to self-government and equality of citizens under the law, ultimate accountability of the government to the people. And there have been many benefits to our liberal democracy. I'm talking about benefits like the liberty to worship, to hold the government accountable, to vote, to buttress concepts such as natural law and natural rights. And all of this means our liberal democracy provides space and protection for Christians to act for the advancement of justice. It takes into account humanity's propensity for evil, humanity's dignity. But there are conditions that are necessary for a liberal democracy to thrive. When the rule of law is diminished, the structure under which people's rights are protected falls alongside it. One of the most powerful statements I have ever heard in this regard happens to come from an American statesman. He was the second president of the United States of America. His name, of course, John Adams, and he said that our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to govern any other. And today, we want to talk about what we are losing, perhaps what we have lost, with one of the most important voices in the Christian world. In fact, let me expand that. I would say one of the most important voices in the world, period. That's a big statement, but I believe that with all my heart. Today we're talking to Rod Dreher. He's a senior editor at the American Conservative. He's written for all kinds of prestigious publication, the New York Post, the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, many others. And he's written incredibly insightful books. Some of you may recall the Benedict Option, which was a strategy. It is a strategy for Christians in a post-Christian nation. But the book that I'm particularly interested in today for this podcast is a recent book by Rod Dreher, which is titled Live Not by Lies. And it's a manual for Christian dissidents. We'll talk about what that means. Rod has read the signs of the times, and he is preparing us for a new dark age. Current trends may not spell the end of the world, but they do spell the end of a world. Not the world, but a world. People alive today may well live to see the effective death of Christianity within Western civilization. That means that we as Christians have a dramatic role to play. And that is right now in the present. The question is, are we ready? Rod Dreher, I am delighted, as always, to have you on the podcast. I loved your book, The Benedict Option, which, by the way, was misunderstood by many people. But I love your book, Live Not by Lies, perhaps even more. It's a book that I've read, I would say not just read, but digested. So I'm just delighted to have you on the podcast.
Well, Hank, it's always great to be with you. And thank you so much for your very kind words about my work.
Well, your work is important, and I hope that people listening into this podcast will really pay attention and then use the podcast as an impetus to get the book and then to not just read the book, but to digest the book, because the future of Western civilization lies in our understanding of what is going on and then providing the resistance that is necessary. You're quoting Alexander Solzhenitsyn with the title of your book.
That's right. Live Not by Lies is the name of the book, and it's also the name of an essay that Solzhenitsyn sent out. It's really too short to be an essay. It's more or less a letter to his followers in the Soviet Union in 1974 on the eve of his expulsion from the Soviet Union for his human rights activities. And he sent this message out telling his people, his followers, do not live by lies. What did he mean by that? It meant that they couldn't hope to overthrow the totalitarian government there, but it did mean that they could stop accepting without protest all of the lies and all the propaganda that the Soviet state compelled its citizens to affirm, or at least not to oppose. He said that if you're afraid that you have no choice but to conform, that's the lie that gives all the other lies their force in the Soviet Empire. So what did it mean to live not by lies? He said that the person who lives in truth will not say, will not write or affirm or distribute anything that distorts the truth. He won't go to a demonstration unless he truly believes in the cause. He won't take part in a meeting in which a discussion is forced and no one can speak the truth, and so on and so forth. Solzhenitsyn said that these might seem like small things, but if enough people did them and showed to each other that they were willing to dissent and to refuse to give their consent to the system might change.
You, in this book, use the power of story to communicate or underscore the logical truth propositions that are encapsulated in the book. I want you to talk about how you start this book. You start it with the story of an elderly mother, a Czech immigrant, who experienced communism firsthand. And that's one of the most insightful stories, because this story got you thinking about maybe what's going on in the West today has a facsimile in past history.
Yeah, it was really shocking to me, Hank. Back in 2015, I got a phone call from someone I didn't know. He's a physician in the Midwest, and he was put in touch with me by a mutual friend, and he said, I have to tell somebody what's going on. He said, my elderly mother is an immigrant to this country. She came here from Czechoslovakia. She's living with me and my wife. And she's telling me, son, the things I see happening in America today remind me of what it was like when communism first came to my home country. And this had particular force for the man who called me, the doctor, because his mother had spent 4 years in a Czechoslovak prison camp for practicing her Catholic faith. And the man said he didn't know what to make of it, but he knew that it wasn't just his mother just talking off the top of her head. He felt that somebody needed to know. Well, Hank, I thought that that was probably just an old lady watching too much cable TV and getting scared. My mother is old. She watches a lot of TV, and she often gets scared, too, by the news. So I reached out to this couple I know in the UK, Bela and Gabi Bolabash. They defected from Hungary in the 1960s. Bela was a math genius, a young math genius. They took up residence in Cambridge, England. Bela became a world-famous mathematician teaching at Trinity College, though he's now retired. Well, I contacted them because I trusted them, and I said, listen, this old Czech woman says that she's seeing things that remind her of communism now, and I just got to know, is she kind of off her rocker, or is there something to it? They wrote back right away and said, oh, no, it's really happening. We see it here in England. Every day when we watch the news or read the papers, we say to each other, this is what it was like when we were young back in Hungary. Well, hey, because I knew these people, I knew that this was something serious. So I made it my business for the next few years, whenever I would travel to give speeches or go to conferences, if I would meet someone who grew up in the Soviet bloc, either Russia or one of the Eastern Bloc nations, I would just put the question to them, are you seeing things now that remind you of what things were like back home? Every single one of them, Hank, says yes. And if you talk to them long enough, they would get really angry at the fact that Americans would pay no attention to them.
We'll pick up Hank's conversation with Rod Dreher in just a few moments. One of the biggest mistakes people make is assuming that totalitarianism can't happen in their own country. Many American Christians are making that very mistake today, sleepwalking through the erosion of our freedoms. The new book, Live Not by Lies, by Rod Dreher, will snap you out of the slumber and equip you for the long resistance. To receive your copy of Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Thank you. Welcome back to a special edition of The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. Let's rejoin Hank and Rod in their conversation.
Yeah, when you say see it happening, you're talking about things like reinventing language, hollowing out words, and rewriting history.
Absolutely. I would ask them, well, what forms do you see this taking? Because, you know, looking around, I'm a pretty good observer of the news. This is what I do for a living. But I didn't see anything that reminded me of Stalinism 2.0. And they would say, no, it's not like that, but it's similar to that. And the main thing that they're seeing now is people being afraid to say what's on their minds for fear of losing their job or having their reputation ruined or even being attacked physically. They said this was how it first started. In fact, the thing that triggered the Czech woman was news reports of what happened to Memory's Pizza. I don't know if you remember that, but back in 2015, just before the Obergefell decision legalizing same-sex marriage, the state of Indiana passed a state version of the Federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act that would have given religious folks an affirmative defense in court if they were ever sued for discrimination. It wouldn't guarantee that they would win, but it would give them some affirmative legal defense. Well, when, and this is already, by the way, a federal law. It has been federal law since 1993. When the state of Indiana, a Republican state, did this, big business came down on them like a ton of bricks, denounced this as bigoted legislation, and told the state, if you don't repeal this, there will be consequences. At the same time this was going on, a TV station from Indianapolis went to this small pizza parlor in a tiny town called Walkerton, Indiana. The pizza parlor was owned by an evangelical father and his adult daughter. The TV reporter asked them, would you serve gay customers? Of course, they said. She asked them, would you cater a gay wedding? Well, no, they said, this is against our faith. That went out on television, Hank, and it became viral on social media. Before you knew it, these poor people, this poor couple, were being hit with death threats, with tweeted threats saying, let's get together and burn this place down, and so on and so forth. They had to close it and go into hiding. This is precisely the thing that the old Czech woman was seeing happen that made her say, this is what they did when communism first came to my country. Since 2015, Hank, this so-called cancel culture has become far, far more powerful. And this is the main thing that these people are seeing. But of course, it's not only that. It's, as you say, it's the redefinition of language. It's redefinition of male and female. And it's the spread of big tech into every aspect of our lives.
Yeah, you know, as you were speaking, I was thinking about Virginia Governor Ralph Northam, who had this sneaky attack on the core essence of communal Christianity. He called into question the very necessity of embodied worship. These kinds of sneaky attacks are really the essence of soft totalitarianism versus hard totalitarianism. Perhaps you can expand on that.
Sure. That's a key definition. Whenever we think of the term totalitarianism, we naturally think of the Soviet Union, of Stalinism, of gulags, of secret police and torture. We think of George Orwell's 1984. But what we're going to be dealing with now is not really that. I don't think so. And most of the people I talk to from the communist bloc don't think so either, though they do warn it could turn hard very quickly. Soft totalitarianism, what makes it softer are two different things. First of all, it's not going to require the secret police to enforce and torture. This is something that's going to be done instead by institutions and through what I believe is going to be an American version of the Chinese social credit system. Now, your listeners might not know what the social credit system is, so I need to very briefly explain that. In China today, the Chinese government collects data constantly from every Chinese citizen based on their smartphone use and based on their internet use. And it's constantly revising this information, feeding it all into a computer to come up with a social credit rating for each Chinese citizen. The social credit rating tells everybody who can see it how reliable, what a good citizen you are or a bad citizen you are. If you do things like download the speeches of Xi Jinping, the Chinese leader, Well, that makes your score go higher. But if you do bad things, antisocial things like go to church, you get a much lower score. The lower your score, the fewer privileges you have in society. And in fact, all the people who know you on social media and in your family, if they don't disassociate themselves from you, if you have a low score, their score will go down. Eventually, Hank, the Chinese can make it where you cannot buy or sell or participate at all in the economy if you have a sufficiently low social credit score. So this is an ingenious way of forcing conformity by marginalizing people and kicking them out of the economy if they don't conform. The Chinese do have secret police, but they don't have to send them around to people's houses to enforce the dogma. Now, here's the thing. We have the same capabilities right here in the United States. In fact, our major corporations are gathering this data all the time from our smartphone use, from our computers, from the way we use our credit cards. And this is all completely legal. This is not conspiracy theory. It's totally legal. We give them all this data. The thing that we have to watch out for now is that they might weaponize this data against us to identify who the bad people are, the people who go to church, the people who vote Republican, the people who read bad antisocial things, and so on and so forth. This is a softer form of totalitarianism where the state, should it decide to do so, and major corporations, should they decide to do so, will be able to punish us without ever sending the secret police to our door. Secondly, the thing that makes soft totalitarianism soft, Hank, is it's being done in the name of compassion. It's being done to protect favored minorities, particularly LGBTs and racial minorities, from victimization. But what they're doing in order to accomplish this worthy goal, a goal that all Christians would agree with in general, nobody should be victimized and certainly shouldn't be the victims of racism or things like that. But what they're doing is creating a structure of permanent inquisition and totalitarian command in order to achieve this. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of René Girard, who is one of the 20th century's most accomplished intellectuals. He saw this coming 20 years ago and warned about it. Now we're here.
And we're willing participants in the process because we love happiness and convenience.
Absolutely. I have to tell people that George Orwell's 1984 is not the book that we need to consult to understand our times. We need rather to look at Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, which was also a totalitarian dystopia. But it was one based not on pain and the infliction of terror, but rather the manipulation of status and comfort and good feeling by the state. This is what we're dealing with now. In fact, I tell the story in Live Not By Lies about my translator in Hungary when they're reporting this book. She's a young Catholic woman, maybe 29, 30 years old, been married 5 years at the time, had one small child and one on the way. She was telling me as we were on the tram going through the city, she said, you know, Rod, I don't understand why it is that I can't have a conversation with any of my friends about the struggles I'm going through being a mom and a wife. She said, every time I try to raise something with them, they immediately cut me off and say, well, just leave your husband, put your son in daycare, go back to work. You'll be happier that way. She said, I want to tell them, no, you don't understand. I am happy being a wife. I'm happy being a mom, but it's not easy all the time. She said, my friends cannot understand that unhappiness, that anxiety, that stress is just a normal part of being a person, and we have to learn to live with it. I looked at her and said, Anna, sounds like you're fighting for your right to be unhappy. She said, that's it. That's exactly it. Where did you get that? Well, I took out my smartphone and went to Chapter 17 of Brave New World, where there's this big showdown between the dictator, Mustafa Mond, and the savage who's living outside of society. The dictator, Mond, says to the savage, come join us. We are for you Christianity without tears. There's no suffering here. We give you all the drugs you want, all the sex and entertainment you want. What's not to like? The savage says, no, I want real life. I want suffering. I want sin. I want God. I want beauty. He wants to be a human, is what he's saying. Mond looks at him, Hank, and says, It sounds like you're fighting for the right to be unhappy. He said, I am. Mon says, well, you're welcome to it. This is us, Hank. This is where we are today. We're so afraid of being bored and unhappy and anxious that we're willing to surrender our political liberties and our civil liberties and even our faith for the promise, the false promise of security and permanent happiness.
Yeah, you know, I was really struck by the story of the man to whom you dedicate Live Not by Lies. Can you tell that story and maybe elaborate on three significant words that are part of the story, which now have become part of the book and a template for us to follow, see, judge, and act?
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation. If you'd like to stand shoulder to shoulder with Hank and the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth, and receive as our thanks for your gift, Live Not by Lies, a manual for Christian dissidents by Rod Dreher, call our resource consultants now at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.